You're listening to Rewired and Inspired with Lily Beyond, episode 63.
Welcome to the Mental Fitness School podcast, where we talk all things rewiring your brain to become the inspiring person you're meant to be, inside out. And now to your host and favorite coach, Lily Beyond.
Hey there. Clients bring to me over and over and over again, and I thought I want to encapsulate my favorite hacks and routine to cool off on a Friday and appreciate the weekend that's coming in and create a clean slate and not being still tangled up in work stuff while you're embracing your weekend. And funny enough, I'm on a Friday while Tim and I are on a secret hideaway getaway. It was the most beautiful thing. Like on Tuesday, he surprised me with clear out your schedule Thursday afternoon and Friday, and we're going on a little adventure. It was the cutest thing, and I was so surrendering to the surprise. And Thursday came around. It was such a productive Thursday morning, even knowing like, hey, at 1 p.m., we have to start packing and get out of there. So having that reward on the horizon, that Thursday afternoon, we're going to be in the car, we're going to drive somewhere spectacular and have a wonderful weekend there together, just the two of us, inspired this whole productive morning of Thursday, where I got so much done that I was postponing and putting off for the longest time, it suddenly was not a problem. So there is your very first lesson. Find yourself good rewards to help you motivate and do things that you want to put off or drag into the next week. And if you've been with me for the longer time, and you know that I did the 100 days of going live last year, every single day, including Saturdays, Sundays, and weekends, and holidays, and traveled several locations, I made it work every day at 7:30 a.m. I was there live on Instagram, giving you a nugget of thought for your day ahead. And if you ever checked in with me back then, you know how I love savoring the energy of each particular weekday. And now with today's topic, like how can you savor your Friday. Make the most of Friday so your Saturday and Sunday feel truly recharging, truly rejuvenating, and you find a way to deal with the Sunday scaries, this thing that comes up on Sunday, where you're at the same time guilty that you didn't savor the weekend enough, didn't enjoy it enough, you didn't recharge enough, and on the other hand, dreading Monday with all the things that you put off from the past week, and all the new things that keep piling up in the new week ahead. So let's stop that craziness right in the tracks. And give you the master Friday cooldown routine that you need to slay your Friday, to use that energy of Friday to let you glide into a wonderful weekend of disconnecting from work and connecting with your heart and your soul over the weekend so you can build up new energy and a new sense of being for the next week ahead. This is a very pressing topic that clients keep on bringing to me. On the one hand, they long for the weekend, like when is the weekend finally here? On the other hand, once it arrives, dive in head first. Maybe they overdo it on Saturday, and Sunday is most probably the day you have to recover from your overdoing from Friday evening and Saturday, so you somehow get your act together to keep up the facade for Monday. And that's a pattern we do not need to perpetuate and need to continue. I'm telling you, there is another way to manage your energy better, to keep your head clean and fresh on Friday so you consciously make a decision to cool down your work brain on Friday, stepping into a different outfit for the weekend. On the weekend, you can experiment new things, you can experiment with new routines, behaviors, try out new projects and play with what else could be possible for your life. The weekend for me is my favorite future self playground. And you play to that degree, so you are inspiring yourself for what else could be possible and foster that new kind of passion and energy for the week ahead, for doing the mundane things, for doing the things that are still open loops that just need to be done for the week ahead. Always living in the future state is also not very practical, but it is a very beautiful harvesting ground even for unheard of energy that you can harvest from the future to nourish and activate in your present day. So I want to give you right away the four most relevant pointers to get you started. The first thing that I love to do with my clients is evaluate your past week. You want to extract what worked, what didn't work, and what you want to do differently. We want to find patterns. Everything we are doing in coaching and in your preparation for your coaching journey, find your patterns. If you know the positive intelligence framework of the saboteurs, the hyper-rational is a very real saboteur. And the hyper-rational might tell you, no, it's not that hard. Hey, every day is different. We cannot find any patterns here because it's always different and we have to deal with whatever comes our way. Handing over the baton to the victim, where you feel like you can't control anything anyway, so why bother? And you're a victim to your circumstances, so you stop avoiding and you're handing the baton over to the avoider saboteur. And by Thursday afternoon, you're so depleted and ready for the weekend to just recharge and give your inner dialogue a break. You're cutting away from your own potential, and your bandwidth becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. That's why starting with evaluating your week is a very crucial step. I definitely would suggest that you do. Yes, it may sound tedious, but I'm telling you, there are patterns. You can do that also for the week ahead, always checking in with that fly on the wall. What are they seeing right now? Are you doing the thing you actually want to do? If you tell yourself, I want to watch a couple more episodes just to relax and recharge and lean back, are you actually enjoying what you think you need to enjoy to recharge? Having that practice of checking in and taking an honest snapshot of what is actually happening gives you more data, more material to work with to make better decisions in the week ahead. For example, what worked? Every time I decided to get a coffee, I was checking in with my intuition and asking, like, hey, do we need another cup? When I heard a yes, I got another cup. When I heard a no, I didn't get another cup. Every day I was showering, I literally felt the cleansing beauty of the water washing away any sorrows, any heaviness from me, and visualized cleaning and charging up that magnet from the inside out. What didn't work, for example? I wanted to go to bed earlier, but then something came up and I wanted to finish just this one email, this one thing I so desperately wanted to get done that day. When my phone was buzzing, hey, it's bedtime, somehow, magically, I found this new motivation to just get it done, which delayed my bedtime for another half an hour to an hour. An example for what to do differently when you say, like, hey, this bedtime thing is really getting to me and I just know I need my 7 to 8 hours of sleep, which is your absolute human right to claim. So when you're saying, I want to be better with my sleep hygiene, what to do differently could be an idea. Let's just set an early alarm. That bedtime routine doesn't start at 10:30 in the evening, but maybe it starts at 7. At 7, I want to start my cool down for the day. And after 7, it's just about my partner, it's just about self-care and some kind of entertainment. If it's going out for dinner, if it's cooking at home, if it's watching a movie. But after 7, you don't want to look at emails anymore. If that could be a rule and you really feel confident because the incentive is strong enough on the other side, then you can use that learning of what didn't work. When I really felt that deadline building up, I got that thing done that I was holding off the whole day, which took a toll then on my sleeping budget. We can work on that and we can find ways to do things differently for the week ahead. And for that whole process of having a really proper Friday cool-down routine, I suggest you block yourself like 20 to 30 minutes on your Friday. You can do that right in the morning, which could be interesting to have like the whole Friday as kind of a buffer zone for whatever needs to get done. Or if you can do it like on your lunch break or a particular coffee break where you say like, okay, then I feel good. Then I feel like I got my project under control. To have these couple of minutes to evaluate my past week and do these couple of disconnection routines that help me to really disconnect and get into a proper weekend mode, into a proper future self mode. So step one, you want to evaluate what worked, what didn't work, what do differently. Step two is that you want to get a head start on your next week. All the things you put off that past week that you wanted to do that are so important to do, but somehow more urgent things messed up your plan. You want to schedule them right away and directly block them in your calendar. Give them a rough time estimate and block them and give yourself some reward afterwards. Getting that done before you get out on a walk or before you do your workout or before you go out for lunch, whatever it is, you can intentionally pair those more annoying things you have to get done with some pleasant things, like really building a reward system for yourself to get done those more annoying things. And why that works is because productivity gurus call the Hemingway Bridge. This is such a cool concept, and I blow people's minds every time I mention that, so here it goes. World-renowned author Hemingway was using in the process of writing his books when he felt that motivation built up in his body to just get it done and just push through it. He came up with a practice to write himself a note of before lunch, I really felt the urge to just get it done and to maybe just even quit the lunch date. Just push through because you just feel the momentum going and you feel like, okay, now I'm motivated, now I have to get it done. This is the exact moment we are looking for. You want to grab that moment where you feel the motivation and you feel like, I want to quit that thing that I actually need to get done or want to get done. Or like before the workout where you feel like, maybe I just clean up my emails and don't do the workout. You want to use that motivation and write your recipe. Write out in bullet points what are the next things you would be doing if you would give yourself another hour to get that done. Like research and then put in the link. Get contact from and then put in the LinkedIn link. Call Susan and then copy the number right there. Make it as digestible as possible so the task of finishing that thing where you felt that motivation so hard to do that feels like almost you can hand that off even to someone else to get that done. It's so self-explanatory, this recipe, this description of the task feels so precise. And then you save that calendar event and then you let it go. And then you allow yourself to feel that buildup of motivation, of excitement towards finishing that task because you know exactly what needs to get done because you have exactly the recipe of one of the next steps to get that done. And you give yourself this little delayed gratification of not doing it right away. And this does magic to your productivity, I'm telling you. Especially if you're doing things around lunchtime and you have this little morning or afternoon slump where you feel like, oh, feel such a dread around the afternoon and not feel like motivated to do anything. Use that morning energy to build these little time chunks with the use of the Hemingway Bridge, of preparing your afternoon with those little time chunks of productively mapping out exactly what needs to get done with links, with rough bullet points, what do we need to be writing in that email. It sounds maybe impractical, but I'm telling you, this is all training for your nervous system of delayed gratification, of getting things done, of self-regulating, and potentially, little star side note, potentially, if you're self-employed and you are noticing these kind of tasks that somehow you just want to get done because they can get done, it's just 10 minutes and it's done, document them so precisely, those could be tasks you can then later outsource to a VA. Write a little job description. If it's something even repeatable, where you say like, okay, it's always these couple of steps and then someone gets a proper reply for me, this is the first step towards being ready to onboard a VA, a virtual assistant. So trust me, try it out for the week ahead. What are some things that you know you can just push through and just get them done and just skip date night for the day? Oh, hey, there is another sunset tomorrow. No, you want to write those tasks out and block them for the week ahead with the exact bullet points that it needs to get it done. And this will give you such a head start on your week ahead and something to really clean out over the weekend so you don't have to think about all the little minor steps that need to get done and you pack that into your Friday cool down routine. And one of the hardest things that clients keep bringing me, if you're employed or you're self-employed, is how you can disconnect from work. They feel that they are always on. Whenever they try to relax, or like we are now in this cute little hideaway in the mountains overlooking the ocean, you're sitting there in your little chair under the palm tree with the infinity pool in the background, and you're still thinking about the things you actually should be doing and all the things that should have got done that week. Or you somehow misinterpret that spur of motivation as something that, hey, let's just work now, huh? What is that about that? No, you want to conserve that energy and use it for later. This is all part of positive intelligence and managing your emotions, that you are able to activate your emotions, the right emotions that you need to get things done, to create things that you've been putting off, to have the tough conversations, to take care of yourself in the midst of crunch time. And you don't want to be constantly tethered to your calendar. And this is only possible if you learn how to disconnect from work. And here are 5 ways. They might sound counterintuitive, so really stay with me on this one. Way number one to disconnect from work on the weekends. You want to play with finding a hobby or a passion project that nurtures you. As you know, I'm coaching on this coaching platform where employers buy coaching sessions for their employees. And it's so fascinating when employees hesitantly bring up their passion project and say like, hey, yes, I'm still employed here, but actually I want to build this other thing. How can we get that done? And I love that so much. And I encourage them every time that this is nothing to be ashamed of. Or, of course, I will never report anything to the employee. This is totally confidential area. But having a passion project, something that you're just doing for you, something where you can live out your creative urges. If it's starting a fashion blog, if it's reselling vintage furniture, if it's tutoring, if it's dancing, if it's watercolor, if it's poetry, whatever it is. Having that passion project, that thing you just do for you, and allow it to be that energy factory almost, that thing that gives you so much joy, so much excitement, such a creative outlet, will nurture you in your day job, and that other thing you're trying to build that might be a little hard right now. That's why I keep inspiring people to find that passion project and to really claim it and almost see it like part of your business strategy. Even if you're building your own business right now and it feels a little tough sometimes, find a passion project. Yes, it could be a passion project that's feeding into the business. I see a couple of coaches that love to write. They have a lot of water energy in them. And they have this kind of poetry, artistic way about them. And they just love to write like even poetry about the coaching philosophies and things. Or for me, it's more the creative outlet for the visuals, like playing with photos and now with my black and white aesthetics. These are things that I just love to do that really give me energy to fuel back into my day job and to my daily urgent tasks that need my attention. So way number one to help you disconnect from work is having that hobby or passion project. And it can even be doing something as a couple. I recently heard of this alphabet project for couples, where every date night needs to start with another letter from the alphabet. So you run through the alphabet, and one day you start with A, and you come up with a date idea with the letter A. And if it's like baking an apple pie, it's fine. But your partner then comes up with a date idea for the letter B. Maybe it's breakfast in bed, and so on. Like having some kind of gamification even of something can also really fuel back into your day job. Way number two that can help you to disconnect from work is that you wanna turn off any non-essential notifications on your phone. Once we do positive intelligence together, I urge you to let notifications on for the positive intelligence app, because this is really your companion to getting those reps in, to really rewire, retrain your brain to be more resourceful, to be more engaged. So that's maybe the only time ever that I encourage you to keep notifications on. But for anything else, keep your phone and your notification and anything, any stimulation outside as low as possible. And especially if you have a work phone where you get emails and stuff on your work phone, find a way to almost even turn it off for the weekend if that's possible. And consciously disconnect from work. You're not pushing it away from the saboteur's perspective of the avoider of like, no, I'm not supposed to do work things this weekend, so I'm pushing it away. If you're doing it from the saboteur perspective, you will create more resistance. And if it's hard, it's not sage. The sage reply to consciously deciding, hey, I'm putting away notifications, I'm putting away my phone, I'm being present in the moment, totally feels different. If it charges you, it lets you connect more to your senses, which is a huge part in the PQ reps, feeling your fingertips, observing sounds and colors and textures around you. So really be aware and check in with you. Does this self-talk of like, hey, I want to disconnect now, does this come from saboteur or sage? And we're going to learn that in my coaching container. Way three of how you can disconnect from work is write down your thoughts. We are briefly doing that in the cool down routine with the evaluation of your week. You can even do that with your thoughts. Even when you're in the moment, you catch yourself on the Saturday afternoon being total work mode and suddenly caught up in a work situation. Write down your thoughts. Just write it down on a piece of paper. Just park your thoughts there. I guarantee you, they don't live anymore in your brain. It sounds too easy, too good to be true, but really try that out. It works. And way number four to disconnect from work is working on your mindfulness during your workday. And this is maybe most mind-blowing for most people and something that I'm really conquering now with bringing positive intelligence more into work situations and in the executive coaching I'm doing, is that yes, meditation is good, or retreats or going somewhere and feeling better is good, but you actually need to activate that kind of sage brain of flow, of inspired action, of playful curiosity. You want to be able to activate that right in the meeting with your eyes open, right when you're triggered, when someone's triggering you, when someone's pushing your buttons. These are the moments where you need to activate those. And this is what we're training with positive intelligence. Those 2-minute snippets will be your training ground of familiarizing, making it more accessible for your body and mind and nervous system to say, like, hey, it actually can be that fast. Maybe I really just need those couple of deep breaths to change direction on my brain. And win number five that can help you to really disconnect from work on your Friday cool down is planning your after work in advance. I recently had a coaching situation where client was almost resenting having date nights. So they knew, like, oh, their relationship is on a thin thread. I'm really getting into risky territory here. We're not spending enough time together and really being present with each other. Not just lying next to each other or watching TV, but really being present with each other. And they were then scheduling time to do that. But if you don't prepare your mind for that, a little plan ahead, like, what would be a cool outfit to wear that night? What could we eat? How could we really set a scene for that? And getting your hyperactive mind on board with, hey, I want to prepare for that. Maybe I need the little training wheels for that right now to get comfortable with wanting that again. So you want to plan your after work in advance. Also, for me, to be very honest, for the longest time it was hard for me because I'm working for myself and I don't have kids. Tim is also working on his business. It's so easy to not stop working at night, to just keep going until you fall off the chair, watch a couple of minutes of your favorite show and then just drop it. It's so freaking available. So you want to be intentional with this time. You want to give yourself this little brain space of preparing for that and anticipating and tapping on that joyful curiosity, like, oh, how juicy can that be? How fun could that be? Really just stare at each other's eyes for 10 seconds. Finding the joy in those little moments will help you to really disconnect and say, okay, it's just not worth it to drain the whole weekend, to drain another date night with obsessing over work and being in victim mode, the avoider mode, or judging a situation, being in super survival state, not allowing myself to take a break. This is how you cultivate a healthy distance from your daily doing, because you are more than your job and you don't have to be available 24/7. I repeat that again. You are more than your job. You are more than your job. And by implementing such a Friday cooldown routine, you not just become an example for the people around you, for your team, for your loved ones. You also finally get a head start into creating that future you actually want, becoming that person who is more balanced, who is more on the lighter note, who speaks her voice, who is just a badass in what she's creating. And it all starts with taking back the power of your time. We're going to talk more about time in the next two episodes, which are actually best of episodes from my other podcasts that I had before. But these are just too good that I can spare them from you. The next two episodes will be just about that, about your time, your most valuable resource, the thing you finally want to master, the thing you want to get your power back from. You want to claim the reins again of your time. Your saboteurs have been running your kingdom long enough. It's time for you to step up, speak your voice, and express what you actually want, then take back the ownership of your time. So that's all I have for you today for your Friday cool down routine. Block that time, make it a regular thing, make it even enjoyable. Can be paired with your third coffee, or you even just have another favorite drink, put in a nice song and make it a little ritual for you to celebrate your week and to build that conscious bridge into your weekend, into your future self zone, and setting yourself up to win for the week ahead. You got this, my friend. I believe in you. Now let's get to work.
Ready to deprogram your self-sabotaging patterns? The Mental Fitness Starter Training is open right now for enrollment. Once you are rewired and inspired, the real fun begins. Go to mentalfitnessschool.com to join class today. Thanks for listening and see you in class.